Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. It's 1 p.m. here on a Monday, July 8th, 2019. It is the first show since the July 4th has come and gone now. Can you believe that? We're already more than halfway into the year of 2019. The 4th has come and went. And I really hope, before I move forward, I really hope you all had a great July 4th holiday. You guys know, toward the end of last week, we were not on the air. Well, we were, but we weren't. What I mean by that is we still had shows. They were best of shows, but we weren't live on the air at 1 p.m. I was away out in Florida visiting my mom, my stepdad, my little sister. I had a great time out in the Fort Lauderdale area, just kind of recharging the batteries. You know, I think all of us can attest to the fact that we get so caught up in work and the grind and our daily to-dos that sometimes we need to get away a bit. You know, just to take a breather. You know, to recharge, to get your chakra together and in order, all right? So I did all of that and more. It was a great time, relaxing a bit, you know, with family and friends. But I'm so glad to be back in this chair, behind the mic, talking to you all. No matter where you may be listening, you may be here in the mid-Michigan area or somewhere else. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Monday afternoon. And again, I'm so glad to be back on the air because there's a lot to talk about. So much has happened in these last few days in the sporting world that I have been chopping at the bit saying, man, I really wish I could go live right now to talk about this. First, NBA free agency. Yeah, the craziness has continued. And Kawhi Leonard did something that many people did not see coming over the weekend. He made his decision. We saw that coming over the weekend, at least. He said he was going to make his decision. Well, he didn't even say that. You know, a lot of people predicted that he was going to make his decision very, very soon. You know, at near like the middle of last week. And he dropped a bombshell on the basketball world with his move. You'll get my thoughts on that move. And then, yesterday, this chatter sparked. The Detroit Pistons are apparently interested in the star guard, former league MVP, Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, drawing a ton of mixed reaction from Detroit sports fans out there and, of course, from Detroit Pistons fans out there. You'll get my thoughts on that. Also, NBA Summer League action is now in live and full effect, and we will be inviting to the hour, dear friend of Current Sports, DeShaun Tate, college basketball analyst, producer, and columnist for CBS Radio in Atlanta. DeShaun is out in Vegas as I speak right now, and he's going to join us on the air to talk about what he saw from Nick Ward in Game 2 of the Atlanta Hawks Summer League yesterday. All right, so how did Nick look? Also, a few other Spartans are also playing in the NBA Summer League. DeShaun has had his eyes very close to that court out in Las Vegas. He'll join us for segment B here on Current Sports. And then on the back end of the show, I want to make some points concerning what we saw on the international sporting stage when it comes to the United States women's national soccer team winning the World Cup. Boy, and they partied like it was 1999 in that locker room yesterday. Did you see the video? Oh, awesome stuff. I absolutely loved it. Loved it. They turned up and turned out as the U.S. of A. is still the top team when it comes to women's international soccer. All right, and then, of course, we'll put a bow on the show with weekend winners. So a lot to get to. Many of you already commenting right now on our Facebook page, our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Thank you so much for tuning in there and commenting below that live stream. You can also pick up the phone and call us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook, well, Twitter, excuse me, not Facebook. I said Facebook. Twitter. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Some college football news concerning two of your beloved Michigan State football players. Two Spartans named to the Sporting News' preseason All-American team. Those two players are defensive end Kenny Willekes and linebacker Joe Bocci. Willekes had a monster junior season, named first-team All-American by The Athletic and second-team by Sporting News, Football Writers Association of America, Phil Steele, and Walter Camp in 2018. Willekes also was the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year while leading the league with 20.5 tackles for loss. He had a career-high 78 tackles and added 9.5 sacks and 12 QB hurries. A monster year for Kenny Willekes. And again, Joe Bocci also named to the preseason All-American team. And I might as well go behind the glass right now because engineer of the Monday edition of Current Sports, Connor Mathis, you just chimed in my ear as we were throwing to the quick hit headliner introduction that 247 Sports is predicting that the University of Michigan football team will go undefeated next season?
Well, 247 Sports is predicting using ESPN's FPI formula. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, given ESPN's infatuation with the University of Michigan. So,
FPI projections. That's what they use.
Yeah.
And they're saying that Michigan's going to go undefeated.
Well, it's going to be even better when they don't make it to the Big Ten Championship and lose their bowl game to Florida for the 18th time.
I'm telling you, dude. It's just, I could go on a huge rant right now. I won't because we have such a busy show and other topics to get to. But that's fake news. To steal a line from our president, that is total fake news, Connor. So there you have that. Okay. Also, some more Michigan State football news. Michigan State football and baseball had a reason to, have a sigh of relief yesterday. Adam Burghorst, he announced on Twitter that he would play for Michigan State football in the fall and not the Texas Rangers, who drafted him in the 14th round of the Major League Baseball draft last month. Burghorst wrote, quote, "Honored to be drafted by the Rangers in the MLB draft, but after many prayers and thoughts, I will still continue my plan of furthering my education in football and baseball career at Michigan State University." So Burghorst was one of two Spartans, trying to debate on whether or not to play, football next season for Michigan State or to take his talents to the baseball diamond. And Burghorst, again, announcing that he will play for the Spartans next season. All right, Michigan basketball news. Head coach Juwan Howard, he avoided committing an NCAA violation last week when discussing German prospect Franz Wagner.
on the Jim Rome show, Howard was thought to have committed an NCAA secondary violation when he discussed Wagner and his recruitment on the show, even though he never mentioned him by name. But according to a person with knowledge of the situation, Wagner had already signed financial aid papers to attend Michigan at the end of June, clearing the way for Howard to speak publicly about Wagner without penalty. So Michigan waited until Saturday to announce that he had signed the financial aid papers. Wagner also announced his decision on Instagram. I heard a lot of chatter about this story. I was actually listening to that interview when Juwan Howard was on the air. I forget the two brothers who were co-hosting that show. Jim Rome wasn't on the air that day. I forget the two brothers who are known in sports. They both wear like beards, but they were interviewing Juwan Howard. Those two brothers also went to Michigan as well. But they were interviewing Juwan Howard, and he started to comment on Wagner. And I'm like, can you do that? And then I went to Twitter, and people were immediately talking about how Juwan Howard was not supposed to talk specifically about Wagner and how that was going to be a violation. But again, it's being reported that since he signed financial aid papers to attend Michigan, this was A-OK, and he did avoid a violation. So, OK, Nick Ward, not a great outing yesterday in the NBA Summer League out in Las Vegas, as Ward, of course, is playing with the Atlanta Hawks Summer League team. The Hawks took on the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday, and Ward had a pedestrian outing, finishing with just 2 points, 2 of 5 shooting, adding 5 rebounds and a block. That was Nick Ward's outing yesterday. Just 2 points, 5 rebounds, and a block. We will invite to the show Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta to give further thoughts on what he saw up close and in person when it comes to Nick Ward. And of course, you know, Deshaun has gotten a chance to interview Ward multiple times because, again, with Deshaun being in Atlanta and covering the Hawks, I'm curious to see what the organization has said concerning Nick Ward possibly making the roster. All right. Also, more NBA news here. The Detroit Pistons are one of 3 teams that are interested in acquiring superstar point guard, former league MVP Russell Westbrook from the Oklahoma City Thunder. A potential trade package would include Reggie Jackson, Tony Snell, top 5 protected 2021 first and a 2023 first, and possibly Siku Dumbuya. This is the thing. Again, that's just one of the trade possibilities that have been thrown out. We don't know the specifics just yet. But there are a lot of fans out there, or just a lot of, you know, casual sports fans. You know, you have to be a fan of the NBA or even the Pistons for that matter, that don't like this move. And I just don't get it. I'll explain why I think this will be a great move for multiple reasons concerning the Detroit Pistons. Now, there are other teams involved here that are interested in acquiring a dynamic talent like Russell Westbrook. That include the Houston Rockets and also the Miami Heat. All right, so more on that story in just a moment. And if you haven't heard, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are both becoming members of the L.A., no, not Lakers, not Lakers, the L.A. Clippers. Yeah, so Kawhi Leonard choosing not to link up with the King and LeBron James alongside Anthony Davis as well. The Clippers made sure that the deal happened by sending an outrageous package to the Thunder of OKC that included 5 future first-round draft picks and 2 very good players, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Rook, and Danilo Gallinari. Now, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins, Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo, and Danny Green are all joining the L.A. Lakers. And also, former Piston Stanley Johnson is heading to the Toronto Raptors. So a lot of movement in these last few days when it comes to NBA free agency. None bigger, though, than the news that Kawhi Leonard decided to take his talents to L.A. No, not the Lakers, but with the Clippers. And he said, hey, Paul George, come with me. It's amazing stuff. Amazing stuff on so many different levels. More on that story in just a moment. David Price pitched 1-run ball over 5 innings. Christian Vasquez and Xander Bogaerts each drove in 2 runs, and the Boston Red Sox beat the Detroit Tigers 6-3 yesterday to complete a 3-game sweep. Whoop-de-doo. The Tigers played the final 8 innings without designated hitter Miguel Cabrera, who was ejected for arguing a called third strike. The Tigers lost for the 14th time in 16 games, falling to 6-25. Yeah, Connor, 6-25 since June 1st. Just ugly. Also, I was really enjoying her incredible run in Wimbledon, but Corey Coco Gauff, she was beaten today. Connor, can we look up the opponent that she had that she faced today? But she was beaten today. I saw some of the highlights. She had some stomach problems that were pretty bad. Not to give her an excuse, the 15-year-old phenom. I didn't think that nobody thought that she would get this far in Wimbledon. But she had some stomach issues. She had to take a break and go to the sidelines, and you know, some doctors came out. One doc gave her like a half pill, and she came back out there and tried to go, but she lost. We do have the name, Connor. What is the name? Who did she play? Halep, right?
Simona Halep.
Yeah, Simona Halep. Yeah, that's who beat Coco Gauff today. And Serena Williams, I know, got a win today against Suarez Navarro. Slight work of Suarez Navarro, 6-2, 6-2 to move on. And also, and I'll give you guys an update on Novak Djokovic, who is taking on Humbert right now. Roger Federer is scheduled to play later on today as well. And Rafael Nadal, also, he moved on in the round of 16, moving to he played that one on center court, actually, 6-2, 6-2, 6-2 against Sosa. So would you say, Connor, you have an update when it comes to Federer?
Not Federer, but looks like Djokovic won.
Djokovic did win. Okay, yeah. Djokovic has moved on, beating Humbert. So there you have that. But Wimbledon has been pretty exciting, and but I've more so been in tune with it because I was following Coco Gauff and her incredible run to be 15 years old. You know, she's got this demeanor that she's just so serious out there. Love watching her run in Wimbledon, but again, unfortunately, beaten. Just 15 years old. Pretty incredible stuff. And you guys know this news by now. The United States women's national team is celebrating victory as World Cup champions. After beating the Netherlands 2-0 in Sunday's final, they hoisted the trophy for the second consecutive tournament. The team will be welcomed home with a ticker tape parade in New York City's Canyon of Heroes on Wednesday. Mayor Bill de Blasio made that announcement. And the U.S. men's soccer players showed how far behind they are to the women. Hours after the American women won their fourth World Cup, the men were outplayed by Mexico in the CONCACAF Gold Cup final. Jonathan Dos Santos, he scored in the 73rd minute to give El Tri a 1-0 dub on Sunday night. So, yeah, the men are nowhere close to the level of dominance that the United States women have showed for many, many years. They got a long, long way to go. I don't even know if the U.S. men will ever compete on that kind of level, Connor.
Yeah, we don't have a men's national team. We just got a women's one.
Yeah.
We don't have a men's national team.
They wouldn't even compete in the next World Cup,
no.
Right? They
got eliminated. No. That last World Cup, they didn't compete because they got eliminated by Trinidad and Tobago.
Shout out to my peoples. Right.
But so this year, I don't know. They just look like a mess, as usual.
They do. All right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you would like to talk to us right here live on the air. And you can also comment. Many comments coming in courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News, where you can watch the live stream of the show right there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Rapino against Van Veenendaal. It's 1-0. The USA won. The Netherlands nil. Roosevelt. Lovely run. Great goal. Brilliant goal. Roosevelt might have won the World Cup for the United States. Fantastic goal. For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world, and for the very first time, they've done it on European soil.
Ah, yes, that was quite exciting. I watched that from the airport, and you know, I was at the Fort Lauderdale airport getting ready to fly back to Michigan. And as soon as the match started between the United States and Netherlands, I mean, people were crowding the televisions as they waited patiently to board their respective flights. It was amazing, you know, and you know, during every moment where the United States looked like they were going to score, you just heard like a collective gasp from everybody in the airport. It was quite amazing watching that. And, you know, that's like the only time I watch soccer. You know, when it comes to the World Cup, I love watching the World Cup. You know, I'm not an avid, as you guys know, I'm not an avid watcher of the sport of football. But the World Cup, especially when it comes to the women and their dominance and how they've dominated for a long, long time, it's just something, it's something special to watch. It really is. So you can't not watch if you're a sports fan. So that was really cool. I have more thoughts on the Women's World Cup final later on this hour. Also, keep it live because in about a little less than 10 minutes now, we'll be welcoming to the hour Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta to talk some NBA Summer League news. And before I proceed, Connor Mathis, how was your break, my man? Happy now belated July 4th to you. Did you do anything cool, anything special? Did you light some fireworks?
No. Went out to the beaches at Ludington. Basically, it was a beach bum from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. They had fireworks out there. It was probably one of the best fireworks shows I've seen, and I've seen the D.C. one, so...
Right.
I mean, it was really, really good.
Awesome, man.
It was nice.
Yeah, we did kind of the same thing in Florida. You know, when I was, my mom lives out there, and, you know, they had a fireworks show down the street, and they had, like, this big concert and kind of like festival for July 4th. And, you know, we barbecued, and then after eating, we went down the street. The fireworks show started at 9 o'clock, and then we caught that show, which was also pretty fun. So had a great 4th, great time spending, you know, the break with family and friends, and just a good few days for me to just kind of just recharge, recalibrate, and get back to it. I'm happy to be back, though. So happy belated July 4th to all of you out there. Let's talk some NBA right now, because the NBA has stolen the offseason. You guys have heard me comment on this multiple times. And over the weekend, we saw one of the biggest boss moves that we've ever seen in NBA history. And that boss move concerning Kawhi Leonard, who I thought was going to be a member of the L.A. Lakers alongside LeBron James. I really believe that. I thought that Kawhi was going to go to L.A. You know, he had these meetings, right? You just kept looking on social media, and they actually even had a helicopter. Did you see the helicopter? There was an actual helicopter that followed Kawhi wherever he went. You know, if his plane landed, there was this magical helicopter that would come out of nowhere and follow him in his car driving to a meeting somewhere, right? But you saw all these reports come out. You know, Kawhi is meeting with Magic Johnson. Kawhi, not just Kawhi, but Kawhi and members of his camp meeting with Magic Johnson to discuss a possible move to the Lakers. And you know, Kawhi did meet with Magic multiple times. It was not just one meeting. You know, he met with the Lakers organization. But there were other teams. You know, he sat down with Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors, the mastermind behind the Raptors in that incredible championship run last year. And he also met with the L.A. Clippers. But the L.A. Clippers didn't seem like legit players in my eyes. From what I was reading out there, we totally got duped. I know I got duped.
there weren't a lot of people coming out there and saying publicly Kawhi Leonard is going to be a member of the LA Clippers. And you even had Jalen Rose. You know, Jalen Rose is a former Raptor, but he never does this. But he went on the air on ESPN's Get Up, like the end of last week, and said that my sources are telling me, I'm like, he said something like 99% sure that Kawhi Leonard is going to return to the Toronto Raptors organization. He will be a member of the Toronto Raptors come next season. And Jalen never does that stuff, but Kawhi gave us the big okey-doke. He really did. Because this move really did. Because I made the statement that, you know, with every move that we've seen, even prior to the Kawhi Leonard move, that there is already and was already more parity in the NBA than I've seen in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years. But with this move, with Kawhi stunning everybody, and I believe what, Connor, that was like late Friday night, right? Early Saturday morning.
Hang on, I'll pull up my tweets. It was at 2 a.m. and I was ready to go to bed. It was 2 a.m. I was ready to go to bed.
I was actually, you know, my stepdad and I, we were out playing pool at like a local billiard spot down the street. We were playing pool. I was getting my butt handed to me. I need to practice some more in pool. But anyway, we're sitting there playing pool, and I look at my phone and boom, right from ESPN, and it was around like 2 a.m. I believe that was like Friday night, but technically Saturday morning. And boom, you know, Kawhi Leonard has decided to go and become a member of the LA Clippers. I could not believe that. Nobody thought that he was going to be a Clipper. And so not only do you decide not to play with arguably the best player on the planet right now in LeBron James, but you decide to play and go to a team that plays in the same building that LeBron does at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. You go to the team next door, the LA Clippers. But it doesn't stop there. You decide to recruit, and there were rumors out there that Kawhi Leonard had always wanted to play with Paul George. But not only do you go to the Clippers, the team that shares the same building as LeBron, but you go and grab and snag a player out in OKC that shisted LeBron James the year before during last summer's free agency period, Paul George, who the Lakers were recruiting. And Paul George looked at it and said, you know, I want to stay in OKC. I don't want to play with LeBron in LA. I want to stay and play with Russell Westbrook for at least another year. Kawhi recruits that guy, and they are both now members of the LA Clippers. That was bossy, Kawhi. That was really bossy. And what I love about Kawhi Leonard is nobody knew. You know, he is a guy that you really can't read. Kawhi Leonard is so silent. He's a silent assassin. You know, he operates in silence. You don't know what he's thinking. You know, you don't know what members of his camp are saying. He runs a tight ship, doesn't he? And now George and Kawhi Leonard combine for the best two-way tandem in the NBA. And parity? I mean, I really believe there are a legit, you know, 6 to 8 teams now that can compete for an NBA title next season. I don't know who's going to win the NBA championship next year. It's not like years past here recently. In recent past, we looked at the Golden State Warriors, and you're like, yeah, who's going to beat the Warriors, though? You know, we're debating like we used to do with Tiger Woods in the early 2000s, right? Are you taking Tiger Woods or the field? That's the kind of feeling that the Golden State Warriors brought to the NBA in recent history. Now, that's out the window. That is out the window, folks. I mean, just look at what's going to be on display next season in the association. You know, many teams have at least a couple stars. You know, the Utah Jazz, now the Lakers, the Denver Nuggets, now the LA Clippers. Don't forget, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Golden State Warriors, but the Golden State Warriors are still going to be a very competitive team next year. So throw in the Warriors. Then you talk about the Houston Rockets. Then you can talk about the Portland Trailblazers, the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, the Philadelphia 76ers, the San Antonio Spurs have a pretty good roster from top to bottom.
the Indiana Pacers. I mean, I don't know who is going to end up hoisting the Larry O come next season. You know, and for the first time in a while, you know, just looking at things. I mean, okay, if you bring up the Clippers, right, and now they got a great team. I love that Clippers team. And now, you know, being coached by Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, you know, he's been the coach for the Clippers for a while now. But that was a big reason why, reading the reports that I see out there on Twitter, that's a big reason why Kawhi and Paul George came to the Clips, because they get to play under a coach like Doc Rivers, who is a player's coach. But, you know, looking at that fearsome pair of Leonard and George, you know, you can counter that and say, okay, but, you know, they may have a rough time against, you know, Rudy Gobert. You know, defending NBA Defensive Player of the Year. You know, how do you keep him out the paint? You know, the Utah Jazz have an amazing starting roster, but then you look at the Utah Jazz and say, but, okay, can they survive the depth of a team like the Denver Nuggets and Jokic, who can pull Gobert away from the paint? Then you bring up the Lakers. Sure, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are one of the dynamic duos in the NBA today. They will be great. But can they survive a guard-heavy team like Portland, who have guys like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum? I could go on and on and on and on when it comes to storylines like that in the league. Every single team in the NBA right now has some pretty solid talent. You know, it's like the NBA guy said, all right, we got to, you know, enough of this old dominant garbage that we've been watching when it comes to the Warriors for years. Let's divvy up things across the board. Heck, even my Detroit Pistons, and that brings me to my next point here. Even my Detroit Pistons, you know, I think can make a pretty good run with the roster they have right now. And by the way, they officially signed Derrick Rose to that 2-year deal. You know, Blake Griffin, teaming up with Derrick Rose. You know, Blake finally has a true legit point guard. Who knows what's going to happen with Reggie Jackson? You know, if I like the fact that with Derrick Rose now on the roster, just look at the roster the way it is right now, I do like the fact that with Derrick Rose on the roster, you won't have Reggie Jackson playing a ton of point guard, all right? So he can play that two role. He loves jacking it up. You guys know how I feel about Reggie Jackson. But that's a pretty solid roster the Pistons have right now. You know, Luke Kennard seems to be getting better, you know, by, you know, each and every single year. Andre Drummond, I have feelings about Andre as well, but when you look at his stats, you know, he led the league in double-doubles last season. When he wants to show up, he can show up. That's a pretty good Detroit Pistons roster. But the Pistons can get better. If they land Russell Westbrook, and again, it's so up in the air right now. I'm reading conflicting reports. You know, I saw that Vince Ellis, you know, he has a piece in today's Detroit Free Press. Vince Ellis, Detroit Pistons beat writer. He's been on the show a few times. You know, Vince put together a piece today and talked about how he was shopping when he heard the news yesterday that Russell Westbrook was on the market, and he immediately shot a text to somebody that he knows, a source close to the Detroit Pistons organization, and he sent a text saying, would the Pistons be interested? And he received a coy response, quote, what would you give up, end quote. So, yeah, the Pistons are, I guess, legit contenders right now to possibly land Russell Westbrook. And there have been mixed responses out there. I listened to some local shows in Detroit, you know, to get my finger on the pulse of what Detroit fans are really thinking about this. And it was mixed. It was a mixed bag. You know, some guys were out there saying Russell Westbrook, he's a high volume shooter. He only cares about himself. He just cares about padding his stats. Sure, he's a walking triple double. That's all fine and dandy, but can he really fit in the system that is the Detroit Pistons? And then some were looking at that contract, and I get it. You know, that contract is pretty massive. Westbrook right now is owed $169.7 million over the next 4 seasons. And that includes a $46.7 million player option for 2022-2023. That's a lot of money. But, folks, can we be real right here for a second? If you look at Detroit professional sports right now, look at the Lions. Look at the Detroit Tigers, for goodness sake.
look at the Detroit Red Wings. Right now, there is no legit competitor in Detroit sports. And I believe, Connor, if they were to add Russell Westbrook, I think, I'm not saying that, look, don't book your ticket to the Detroit, to the NBA Finals come next season if you land Russell Westbrook. All right, but I believe that if the Pistons do acquire Russell Westbrook, and you know, if they get rid of and you put in there, Connor, in our headliners, that, you know, a possible trade package may include like Tony Snell, top five protected 2021 first and 2023 first, possibly Sekou Doumbouya, as well as Reggie Jackson, who Detroit sports fans have been looking at and saying, please get rid of that man right now, ASAP, if you can. That's not bad because, first off, if you're talking about draft picks, right now, and we're seeing this, we've been seeing this for a long time in the NBA when it comes to the NBA draft, you just don't know. You know, you don't have, on every single year now, for the last 5 to 10 years, you don't have guaranteed superstars you can bank on when it comes to these NBA draft classes anymore. All right? Who knows how good Sekou Doumbouya is going to be? Have no idea. No clue. Reggie Jackson, high-volume shooter, get rid of him. Tony Snell, that's an expendable piece that you can give away. Heck, I would not be mad if they even gave up Andre Drummond. All right? Andre Drummond's been a headache. He's inconsistent. Your players out there have leased time in his head, and that's gotten to him and thrown his game off. But if you got a guy if you got a chance to bring Russell Westbrook to your team and pair him up with Derrick Rose, and then you look at Blake Griffin also on that squad, boy, I really like that. That's a team that is looking at a NBA Eastern Conference playoff slot anywhere from 4 to 6. I mean, for those who oppose this move, I argue why. You know, what should the Pistons do here? You're already in purgatory right now. You're in that middle slot, right? That middle slot of talent where you're not horrible to tank and get a high draft pick, and you're not real good where you're competing on an NBA Finals level every single season. So why not try and go out there and just go for broke and utilize the years that Blake Griffin has left in Detroit playing at this kind of level and pair him up with a dynamic talent like Russell Westbrook and just give a go at it? Who knows what happens? And bring some interest to the red, white, and royal blue. Interest that has not been there since the going-to-work Pistons days of the early 2000s. It's an eyesore watching this team right now, and it's been that way for a long time. When you land an MVP-caliber guy like Russell Westbrook, a guy who's a walking triple-double on every night, you better believe that people are going to pay for tickets. Now, I understand when it comes to long-term financial success, when it comes to putting butts in the seat, you got to win. Because I don't care who's on that roster. If you aren't winning, people won't buy tickets. But the initial impact that this would create when it comes to ticket sales for next season can be astronomical because of the star power that is on this team right now. Why not go for broke? Why not say skip it? We ain't got nothing to lose as the Detroit Pistons. Let's bring on Russell Westbrook and just see what happens. That's where I'm honestly at with it right now, especially when you look at the full spectrum of things and how lowly Detroit sports are right now. If the Pistons were to snag Russell Westbrook, the Pistons would be the closest thing to winning a championship in Detroit sports right now in comparison to the Lions, Tigers, and the Wings. No debate about that. Let's hit our first break when we come back. We'll get the thoughts of Deshaun Tate on NBA Summer League action. We'll also pick the brain of Connor Mathis on what I had to say concerning Russell Westbrook possibly becoming a member of the Detroit Pistons. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Many, many comments coming in on our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. Alex, Steven, Ben, my man Rob Porritt. I'm going to get to a few of your comments in just a moment. But due to time and because we got our guests waiting, just real brief thoughts, Connor, on Russell Westbrook possibly to Detroit. Yay or nay? You like that?
I like that a lot. I think part of the Russell Westbrook equation is figuring out where his personality fits in and can click with someone. And I think him and Blake Griffin are on the same wavelength. If you want, look at Blake Griffin, just body language and his talks, like post-game, he's kind of sick of the, you know, happy-go-lucky Pistons when they're on like losing streaks, and you know he wants to win. And I think Russell Westbrook's a good compliment for that, and can kind of instill some, you know, accountability onto the team that at times last year just looked like they were just, you know, happy to be there.
Right. There's a famous interview from last season where like Reggie Jackson like videos Blake getting interviewed, and Blake's just like serious, like, dude, I'm doing an interview here, man.
Exactly.
Like, please, can you go take that mess somewhere else? So I'm with you, man. I like it for a lot of different reasons. But I think the biggest reason for me is that what do you have to lose? You are the Detroit Pistons. What do you have to lose? You got a chance to land one of the dynamic players in the NBA, and you're sitting there as the Detroit Pistons saying, oh, no, we're too high and mighty for that?
Well, here's the other thing, too.
Come on, man.
You know, it gives you an escape route for Reggie Jackson, massive contract that you don't want to pay off.
Right.
Potential escape route for Andre Drummond, massive contract you don't want to pay out. For Russell Westbrook, and you know, you're basically going in on Blake Griffin. And both those contracts are up in 2-3 years. So if it doesn't work, oh no,
exactly.
You're going to start from scratch anyway. You'll have the pieces to tank if you want to. You'll have the role players to say, hey, we can maybe build around Sekou Doumbouya if they keep him. You know, so
right. Contracts are already expiring.
Exactly.
So what's the
you're
problem?
You're capitalizing on the title window, so might as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, I'll get to those Facebook comments in just a moment, but right now I want to get to our phone line because he has been waiting oh so patiently on the West Coast out in Las Vegas. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta, college basketball expert. He has been covering the NBA Summer League, and I'm curious to get Deshaun's take on what he has seen, especially when it concerns a few Michigan State Spartans out there. First off, Deshaun, how you doing, my man? Happy Monday to you.
I'm good, man. Good afternoon. I was going to say good morning to you, but I might as well say good afternoon because I know we're on two totally different time zones at this point. But I'll tell you what, it's nice and warm out here, dude. I feel like it's about 120. You can scramble the eggs on the concrete for crying out loud, dude. I mean, I've gone through it all. I've gone through the heat. I'm sitting in the middle of the desert. The Summer League, I'm interacting, encountering all of it, and even a little bit of an earthquake, too, while I was at it. So
I know.
A jack of all trades.
So, Deshaun, you were out there when that, like, what, 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit last week? What was that like, man?
Absolutely. Well, it was a little weird. I'll tell you why. I'm sitting there at the table at the in our media section, and I'm writing something on a piece of paper on the table as I'm watching the game. I thought it was actually Zion dunked it so hard that maybe he shook the whole place up, but it's still shaking and shaking. I'm sitting there writing something, and you know, I figure it'll pass over after a while, but it's still shaking and shaking. And after a while I got tired of it. I slammed my pen on the table and I looked down the guys at the row and I said, hey, you guys want to stop shaking the table? I'm over here trying to do some work. Meanwhile, they're looking over at me like, hey, you want to stop shaking the table? We're down here trying to do some work. And so, you know, it was funny because at that point is when I realized you got a lot of people that are getting up in the crowd, in their seats, and they're getting up and they're leaving. Now, it did not register to me right away of an earthquake. And the reason why is because it had just been announced on social media, and I just clicked through an ESPN app on my phone that Zion Williamson was going to be shut down and was no longer going to participate in the game. So I figured that's why everybody was leaving. But when I started seeing people running, I'm not going to stand around and be the innocent bystander. I'll figure out a little bit later on why we were running. But when I see people running, I got to get gone.
Right. That's how we do, right? I mean, if you see somebody running, just ask questions later. Just get out of there. But I saw on social media that the game that was taking place, you know, they had to stop the game because the scoreboard started shaking, the speakers, you know, like the PA announcer comes through. That started shaking. It was a pretty scary moment, I know. I'm glad you're all right out there, man.
Yeah. It was, man. And I think I was a little confused at first that, you know, because that was in Thomas and Mack Pavilion. But how come I'm sorry, that was at the Thomas and Mack Arena. Mm-hmm. How come the games that they're connected, but the games in Cox Pavilion was not, you know, canceled out? And so I think the reason behind that is because Thomas and Mack Arena has the hanging scoreboard, like you alluded to, and the speakers, where if that would have fallen on someone, obviously we're talking about, you know, something a lot more dangerous. But the games in the Cox Pavilion, as in it's more of a gymnasium with the scoreboards and everything like that attached to the wall, so there was nothing hanging from a ceiling, so to speak. So I think that was the difference between why one was kept continued to go on and the other didn't.
Gotcha. All right, man. Well, let's talk some hoops to Sean. I want to get straight to Nick Ward right now because, you know, I looked at the stat line last night after that one was said and done, and Nick Ward posted up 2 points for the Hawks in a loss to the Timberwolves. What did you see from his 11 minutes of play last night?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It just doesn't seem like there's been a whole lot of improvement, to be honest with you, in his game. And he kind of looked like the same Nick Ward from Michigan State that, you know, I think his chances would be a little bit better at making a roster, whether it's the Atlanta Hawks or someone else's roster, in the event that he didn't experience the injury. And I still kind of feel like he's not recovered 110%. From that, at least that's the way that it looks. And he's getting plenty of playing time. You know, we do have Amari Spellman up there in the front court. You know, outside of that, Nick Ward is getting more than enough of his fair share of minutes. Reed Travis, who came over from Kentucky and now trying to make his way into the NBA as well. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't start over Nick Ward. So Nick Ward is getting more than enough time. It's unfortunate because I think that with Nick Ward's style of play, had this been about, you know, and his body type and all those things, if this was about 15 years ago or so, I think we'd be having a different conversation. But I think that the time has unfortunately passed for him in terms of, you know, him not being able to stretch the floor with, you know, much of a face-up game and what the game is kind of going to as of now. The back-to-the-basket game it's not cutting it very much more. Those guys are very, very far and few in between.
That's very true, and the game has certainly evolved in so many ways. If you don't shoot nowadays as a big man or a big forward, you know, it's hard to make a roster. And now for Nick, I didn't get a chance to see that the Hawks' first summer league game. How many points did he post in that one, Deshaun, if any?
I think it was somewhere around, you know, maybe about 6 points or 8 points or something like that. And it wasn't terrible. I think he played a much better game in that first outing. One thing that he always finds a way to do well is, you know, I think it's really good that he dropped the weight that he did prior to the season last year at Michigan State. But in addition to that, he does a very good job at following up shots. And he did that extremely well in that particular game and rebounding and things like that. I just think that, you know, partially his conditioning and, you know, defense and, you know, he probably can't, you know, jump over the cell phone that I'm holding right now while I'm talking to you. So he's not really the athletic guy, which is something we already know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a workhorse, and I'll give him credit for that. And he definitely displayed that between that and him being a space eater, a big-time rebounder, he definitely displayed that. But it's just not looking very good, unfortunately, for Nick Ward right now.
Yeah, again, in his first two games of summer league action. And, you know, one thing that I did notice, though, Deshaun, is when he did come down. Now, again, it's Summer League Pro-Am here in Lansing. You know, the Moneyball Summer League every Tuesday and Thursday throughout this month, all the way up until the beginning of August. When he did show up, and Miles Bridges also came in the building to open up Moneyball, I did notice that he lost a lot of weight. He did cut down a lot on his weight, and he looked really slim, so much so that a few people were getting him confused with Xavier Tillman. And I'm curious, Deshaun, with you, you know, having a finger, you know, right on the pulse of the Atlanta Hawks organization, you know, being a radio columnist, producer, and host in Atlanta. What has the organization said about Nick Ward's value and his possible NBA future?
Are you sure he wasn't so slim that people were confusing him with Marcus Bingham?
But maybe him too. But I heard a lot of people saying, "Oh, is that Tillman right there?" And I'm like, "No, that's Ward, yeah, man. That's Ward."
He probably didn't slim down that much.
No, not that much. Not that much, man. He needs to
maybe
put on some weight.
Bingham. Maybe a little bit, but yeah, not that much. I've been hearing a lot of good things. Now, granted, in the same respect. I'm supposed to be hearing a lot of good things. You know, I'm going to get a lot of good answers, if you will. I'm not really sure how many really, really good in-depth things that are here. And again, the physicality, I think, is what people like more than anything, because he is one of those guys that will work. He's a workhorse. He's a space eater. He will be willing to do all of the things that the typical Michigan State type of guys do. You know, they're going to work, they're going to grind and muck it up real good and get, you know, really gritty with the game and be a glue piece. And those are the things I've been hearing. Now, I haven't heard, obviously, a ton in terms of how can he be more effective in a scoring role on this team, because I think that it is kind of set and ideal for him to have play a little bit better from a scoring standpoint. It's unfortunate that we haven't seen that just yet. But I will say enough to say that another thing that I think that he's doing very well is finding a way to pass the ball out of double-team situations. And I think that he could be better at that for sure. But, you know, that was something that he had to find a way to get adjusted to very fast in this 1 year at Michigan State, as we knew he was going to start drawing more and more double teams, the more and more that he started, you know, getting a lot more recognition.
Definitely. Deshaun, real quick, does he end up on a G League roster or overseas next season?
I think overseas is a little bit more realistic. Personally, I really do think that. And it might be a better option for him also, to be honest, because you can make more money and it's tax-free at the same time. So
yeah,
that might be a better situation. Who knows? You know, sometimes people think, you know, that you go and play in international basketball just because, you know, you got the dreams and the aspirations of being an NBA player, like it's such a bad thing. You can always go over there and make your way back. We saw the same thing with Charlie Bell, who was one of the best players internationally for a long time and found a way to come and make his way back over on the NBA level. So, you know, his decision of leaving Michigan State kind of had me feeling my own little way, because I think Michigan State this upcoming year is looking at a thin front court kind of. You know, they've got a lot of wings and things like that, but they don't have much depth up front. And I really believe, even though they're expected to be ranked number one and all this other kind of stuff that really doesn't matter to come into the year, I think they're going to hurt by losing out on a Nick Ward, who I think definitely should have come back. But certainly if his dreams and aspirations are to be a NBA player, I don't think him staying or coming back was going to make much of a difference in him getting drafted, unfortunately.
Okay, with just 5 minutes left here, Deshaun, other Spartans in the summer league, guys like Matt McQuaid. I saw that he didn't play on Saturday in that Pistons loss to the Trailblazers. But also, you know, guys like Miles Bridges, Matt Costello, and Kenny Goins. What have you seen from those other players? And any word on why Matt didn't play?
Yeah, I don't have very much word on why Matt didn't play. I think one of the biggest reasons, though, is when you're looking at that position and the guys that you have playing on that roster, I mean, they're really working to give the Mekhi Luke a lot of reps and things like that. And I think some of it does have something to do, and I don't know this to be for sure, but just with the optics, seeing Matt McQuaid isn't necessarily the most aggressive guy in terms of physical strength that you'd like to see, and he's kind of a liability on the defensive end sometimes. I know Spartan fans are listening to this show is probably kind of gritting their teeth at me a little bit, but I'm not here to play radio. I just want to be completely honest. And for his size, he's not really the greatest ball handler either. Now, I think if you have a point guard that penetrates and kicks it out to a guy that's wide open, I don't think there's a better shooter on this team, to be quite honest with you. But when you have situations where, you know, he's kind of similar to being more of a one-dimensional type of player, at least at next-level basketball, what we're talking about right now outside of college, I think that's one of the things. Miles Bridges is doing a phenomenal job, doing so many different things well, rebounding the basketball and being aggressive, blocking shots, doing things on the defensive end equally as well as on the offensive end. And he's looking like the type of player that we thought that he would be in the NBA. And to be honest, you know, a lot of people, including me, kind of felt like he had the potential to be and likely would be a better NBA player or pro player than he was a college player. And he was a really good college player. So I think that that's saying a lot. And he's impressive. And Kenny Goins, I think I'd like to certainly see a little bit more out of Kenny Goins, if I'm just being honest with you, especially considering the fact that Michael Porter Jr. is not playing in the summer league, as that was just recently announced.
Yeah,
But certainly there still is some time left remaining in the summer league, as we have somewhere right around a whole nother week to go where we can see a lot of these guys take the floor that we didn't have the pleasure of seeing earlier this weekend.
All right. Thank you so much, Deshaun. Outstanding job. We got to get you on maybe next week to give us an update on some more games as the summer league continues. All right.
Looking forward to it, and I'll be up that way the weekend of the 20th, so hopefully we can kind of kick back, and I know I owe you a big juicy steak, man, so I'm ready to pay up.
I'm looking forward to that, Deshaun. Thank you so much, brother. You got it, man.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. As we put a close on today's current sports with just a minute left, again, many comments coming in on our Facebook page. You know, Deshaun made some interesting points, when it comes to Nick Ward. You know, he's not lining it up. Now, again, two games into the summer league, but you know, looking at some of the, again, there was really only one highlight when it comes to Nick. He only scored 2 points. I don't believe that Nick Ward is going to make an NBA roster come next season. I think I agree with Deshaun. He's probably going to end up overseas. And when it comes to the other players who are participating in the summer league, you know, guys like Matt Costello, Kenny Goins, I also believe that Costello and Goins may end up overseas. Bridges is already, you know, he's a budding star, and he's only going to get better. He's already on the roster, maybe just getting in some reps to try and improve his game over the summer.
And he got shouted out by LeBron on Twitter the other day.
Oh, did he? I didn't see LeBron shouted out Miles Bridges on Twitter? What did he say?
He said he said something along the lines of, I can't wait to see this guy dunk on people next year. I just hope he doesn't dunk on me.
That's awesome stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's a human highlight reel when it comes to jumping and jamming it, right? So, but thanks so much to Deshaun. Thanks so much to everybody out there who weighed in. I'm going to get to your comments to lead tomorrow's show because we had some great ones out there. But have a great Monday afternoon and be easy, people.